Good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here at URA Community, and it's so good to have you here with us, just hanging out today. I hope you've come expecting something good, and my prayer is that that God will deliver, because you know what? He's pretty good at that, and he's pretty faithful. In fact, he's very faithful, and that's what I love about being able to just serve him and trust him and know who he is and what he is. What he's up to, because he's got always got something good for us. So here's the reality. Today we would normally be starting a brand new series. We wrapped up our Joy series last week and had one ready to go, all the good stuff, you know, the graphics and all the stuff that we do. And you know what? Yesterday God said, no, you're not going to do that today. Today is a day where I have a message I want you to share. And so today we're going to put that series on hold. We'll get it kicked off next week, I guess, if God allows us to. But today is just something totally different. And let me just tell you, it's going to be one of those uncomfortable messages. So I want to be just upfront with you, especially if you're a first-time guest with us today. Hey, listen, you know, today was kind of an unplugged day with the band. That was pretty cool. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's good for them just to unplug and kind of bring things down a little bit. It's kind of easy to do when you don't have a drummer. So if any of you play drums, we could use you up here. But they kind of had to make an adjustment as well this week. But it's good to just unplug, bring things down, and then just be able to get down to what God has for us. And so today I'm excited about what he's going to say and do here in these next few moments with us. So here's the thing. So I got you all kind of nervous and expecting and wondering. Here's what I want to do. I want us to all stand up. Can we bring the lights up? All right, so everybody's standing. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to reach into your pocket or your pocketbook, and I want you to pull out your wallet. I want you to pull it out. Seriously, this is like participation. If you're here for the first time, trust me, just hang in here. It's going to be okay. All right, hold them up. Hold them up. Wave them around. Wave them in the air like you just don't care, all that good stuff. You know, have a little fun with it. All right, so we all got our wallets out, and we're all excited, and y'all are looking like, Pastor ain't got no money in his wallet. We know what's up with him. Anyway, so here's the deal. So what I want you to do is I want you to find somebody that's not your spouse or with you, and I want you to go to them and give them your wallet. Right now, go. I'm not joking. This is real. Do it. Here's my spouse. Yeah, I'll trade you. All right. So here we are. All right, so take this new wallet that you now have. All right, so wave it in the air, because you know you don't care now, right? You're all excited because you got somebody else's. This was a good trade for some of us, not a good trade for the rest of us. So we're waving around. All right, so tell me, doesn't it feel much better to wave somebody else's wallet than your wallet? I mean, because some of you are, like, checking it out. You're, like, weighing it. Like, does it weigh more than mine? What's in here? You know, and some of you haven't taken your eye off of the wallet you gave to somebody else. Yeah, but it feels good to wave somebody else's, doesn't it? Yeah, it's a reason why that this feels more comfortable. It's because when something's not ours, we're way more free with it, aren't we? If it's ours, like, we're a little guarded and we want to hold on to them. If we lose our wallet, man, the world stops. You know, some of us would rather lose our phones, you know, that costs way more than what we got in our wallet. We'd rather lose our phones than lose our wallets because it, you know, it has so much about us, but it has, you know, the things in it that are like really key to it. And so when we have somebody else's, we're a lot more free. We, you know, we could drop it and not worry about it or whatever. Stuff could fall out and we wouldn't put it all back or whatever. You know, it would just be, it would be much easier. But when it's ours, we're way more guarded, aren't we? And there's a reason and there's something that we need to understand about it. That the wallet that we're holding that's ours, that has our picture on it, guess what? It's not ours either. And the stuff in it's not ours either. And so we can be free with that wallet just like the other wallet. All right, so now while we all have somebody else's wallet, they're going to go back and get the baskets. And so today we're going to take up an offering. And so since we're all feeling free and all that with somebody else, let's just give, okay? Give like you've always wanted to give, you know? No, seriously, give them back. Pass them back to whoever you got them from. Pass them back. All right, you can have a seat. All right, so some of you are like, oh my gosh. You know, especially if you're here for the first time, you're like, what in the world did we do to get here? All right, so here's the reality. We are going to talk we're not going to talk about dollars. We're not going to talk about cents because half of us ain't got any anyway, especially up here on the stage. What we are going to talk about, though, today is generosity, and we're going to talk about unlimited generosity. Because I think there's a misunderstanding that we have in the church about what generosity is really all about. And I know for some of you in here, you're like, maybe you did come for the first time. Maybe you're here and you're like, you know, this is just typical. You know, here we are in the church and we'll be one of those churches that's just going to talk about money. And that's going to be, you know, just one more church that's all about the money. Well, let me just stop you right there because let me just tell you, and over the year that we've been, you are a community church, we haven't done an entire message on money yet. And if you knew us as High Rock Church, you know we did a lot about giving and money. They weren't wrong. We just focused on it, right? And so in over a year, we haven't done a complete message on that. So nobody can say that this church is all about the money because that is just not the truth. And so today, though, I want to be able to share with us because I think generosity, and we confuse the two. We confuse generosity with giving money to the church. And the reality is generosity is something way beyond that. It is a spiritual discipline that we need to be able to understand it and let it grow in it. Let it mold and let it become all that it wants to be in us because God has given us that to be able to do things with. And so we need to come to a place to get off of the thing about the church and money. And we need to be serious, though, about being a follower of Christ and being generous. And in my opinion, those are two totally different things. And so today, I want us to be able to talk about that. I want us to be able to focus in on who it is and what it is that God wants us to be and do. And so I could remind you, you know, that Jesus talked way more about money than he did heaven and hell. The only thing he talked about more than money was his kingdom. All right, and building his kingdom and everything else about his kingdom, the only thing that he talked about more than money was that. And so it was key that he knew the reality of money and the place that it plays in our lives and the fact that we get that confused with generosity. And so Jesus talked about it, but I don't want to focus on all that. See, I don't want to tell you why you should give. So I'm not going to, that's just not going to be one of those messages where I'm going to tell you why you should give. I'm not going to tell you why you should sacrifice. I'm not going to tell you why you should do anything. But what I want to do today is I want to tell you why I do it. And then I want us to look together and see if maybe why I do it is why you should do it. And I'll let you and God work out the details of that. But I just want to share with you from my heart why I give to this ministry and why I believe generosity is so important to us being who we're supposed to be. All right, so let's get started. Here's why I give and why I'm generous is because it breaks the control money has on me. Being generous breaks that control that money has on me. All right, so let me just say, so I accepted Christ at the age of 21. I was a college kid, you know, about to get out with the world by the tail. Things were good, and God came along and just, you know, he delivered me from myself. He delivered me from all that stuff that I had myself focused on. And you know, and let me just tell you, the 10 years since have been awesome. Yeah, it's been more than 10 years, just a few. In fact, it's 25 years today, or this year, not today, but this year, in August it will be. And so 25 years ago, I accepted Christ. And let me tell you, 25 years have gone by, a quarter of a century, and the control that money can have on me sometimes just amazes me. And so maybe you're in the room and can identify with that, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes money can just get in the way of all kinds of stuff with us. You know, we become focused in on the things that we want. We become focused in on the things we think we should have. We become focused on the things that we see others getting and we deserve it too. I mean, we just get focused on all that stuff. And the money can quickly grab control of us and hold on to us. And we begin to then, once it has control, we begin to lose focus of what generosity is all about, and we begin to tight fist everything that we have. And we walk around, that's how we live our lives and when it comes to being generous. We're just tight-fisted. And when we're tight-fisted, listen, when your hand's open, you know, you can give things away. When you've got a grip on things and you're tight-fisted like this, you can't. In fact, what you typically can do with it is punch somebody in the face, okay? And that's sometimes what we do instead of being generous, because we don't have a generous spirit about us. We, in turn, make people feel like they've been punched in the face. So the reality is that money can control me. John Ortberg, a great pastor out in the West Coast, great author and speaker, he says this: money has the real unrivaled power to reveal the condition of the human heart. Money has the real and unrivaled power. I love that word power in there, to reveal the condition of a human heart. Man, doesn't money just open us up and show us for who we really are? Doesn't it reveal and show who people really are? Because you know, we think maybe our family is really tight-knit and really good, but let somebody die in our family. Man, you start getting inheritance in the way, man, people's real heart begins to be revealed, doesn't it? We see it all the time. Over little stuff, you know, over the frying pan. People get all worked up over it. But stuff begins to reveal the condition of our hearts. You know, we worry about the lottery, and we want to win the lottery. Everybody wants to have a bit of that. But the reality is let that happen, and man, it will reveal the condition of your heart in a second. Because that's who we are. Money has that power to do it. And so that's why Jesus said that we can't serve two masters. We can't serve money and God too. We can't have our focus on that side and also on being all that he wants us to be. Does that mean you can't be rich and be a follower of Christ? Absolutely, you can be. You could be both. It's not about that. It's about the condition of a heart, not about the amount of money you have. So you can have that. But the reality is that we need to be able to understand that money is the number one rival, or really the Bible tells us and makes it very clear, the love of money is the number one rival to who God is in our lives and who he wants to be in our lives. We allow stuff to get in the way so often. We think that we have to have all the latest stuff, but yet the whole time we've got all this stuff and we can't help somebody who needs it. So my daughter, Erin, who's 5, got in the car the other day, and she pulls out this dollar. And she says, you know, I can't remember the kid's name, but I think, I won't say it anyway, but he gave me a dollar. Really? I'm like, really? You know, that's a pretty good deal. You know, why did he give you a dollar? He said, he just wanted me to have it. All right? And so I said, well, how did he get that dollar? Because I was like, was it from his mom? You know, was it supposed to be for something else? I was trying to dig down to why he had this dollar and was giving it to my daughter, because, you know, that's not such a cool thing. You know, we don't want our daughter standing on the street corner, right, Brian? That's if you went to buy Zaxby's yesterday, you know, you saw my daughter standing on the street corner, then that was a problem with me. I got to talk to our youth pastor for putting my daughter on the street corner. But anyway, and trying to raise money the whole time, I'm like, what are you doing? Anyway, so, but the reality is, I was trying to figure out where it came from, and so she said, well, so-and-so gave it to him, and I said, why? And he said, because he needed it. And I'm like, why did he need it? Because he didn't have any money. I said, well, then why did he give it to you? And he said, well, he didn't, because I didn't have any money either. And so, you know, that made me feel even better, right? So anyway, the reality is these kids, one had a dollar and saw one without, so he gave it to him. And then that kid who was without then saw another kid without and gave it to her. And I'm thinking, man, couldn't we as adults get that? To just see somebody who needs something, that we perceive their need, and we didn't have to see them on the street corner with a sign. We don't have to see them, you know, wherever, at the community inn or wherever they may be that we associate with being poor and homeless. Why can't we just see somebody that we want to bless and just go bless? But how often do we really do it? You know, I love going through the drive-thru at Bojangles and just paying for the person's meal behind me. I love doing that. But why? Because it shocks them. It surprises them. And they may not have a need. But I love hearing stories about people who said, hey, you know what? Somebody in front of me bought my breakfast at Bojangles, and so I bought the person behind me's breakfast at Bojangles. I love hearing that story because that's really cool that somebody who got a blessing then gave a blessing. But when we get so focused in on the control that money can have on us, we then become tight-fisted and we have no recognition of needs around us. I give so that money doesn't have a control on me. When I open it up and I just give it away, then listen, I don't have to worry about it controlling me because I let it go. Ortberg says this as well, money has the unique ability to change the condition of the human heart. So not only does it have the power to reveal, it also has the power to... So it All right, so here's the deal. So I have to go like, I'm like all evangelist today now. I'm already sweating, so it's going to be really cool. All right, so here's the deal. So where were we? So money has the ability to change the condition of the human heart. It can change us from being someplace where we're at a good place to being at a bad place, and it can do the opposite. So money has the ability, though, to help us when we have it to then be able to bless people. So we need to be able to not let it have control over us. We need to let it have, you know, for us to have control over it. And the way that we do that is we let go of it. We allow God to have full access to it, and we allow him to show us how to be more generous. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. He said, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, here's how we quote that scripture. Some of us think we're really good because we learned the scripture. But the problem is we learned it wrong. We say where our heart is, there our treasure will be also. Right? So we think that if our heart is somewhere, then our treasure is going to be there. The reality is where our treasure is, that's where our heart goes. It follows our treasure. So if we spend money, if our money goes somewhere, if we make something our treasure, then you better believe your heart will go there too. Any boat owners in the house? If you have a boat, you have certainly put your treasure somewhere. You know, boat means bring on another 1,000. So you've put your treasure somewhere, and guess what? That your heart will easily follow that treasure if you allow it to. That boat will become your Sunday morning and your Sunday afternoon, and it'll become your Wednesday night, and it'll become all the times where you are spending your moments in the boat rather than fishing for men, right? So instead of being fishers of men, you're just totally focused on being fishers of fish and fishers of jet skiers or whatever. It's just not jet skiers, but what do you call them? Wakeboards or whatever. You're focused on having the fun with yourself and by yourself and with your group rather than being somewhere that you could be more open. And I'm just picking on boat owners, but think about it. Your car, your motorcycle, your, you know, whatever it may be, you can get quickly focused off of what God wants you to be focused on. So I give because it breaks the control money has on me. I give because I'm instructed to give. Give because I've been instructed to give. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. Paul's writing here to the church in Corinth, and he says this, since you excel in so many ways, in your faith, in your gifted speakers. Y'all excel there, right? Gosh, y'all are like, man, y'all are treating this like a typical money message. Get live, church. Your knowledge, your enthusiasm, your love from us, I want you to excel also in the gracious act of giving.
He says, because you have all of this stuff, because you're doing so many things, you're being a great church, because you're doing all the things that a great Christian should do, then you should also excel in giving as well. That you should be willing to do just as much as you're ready to learn, just as much as you're ready to come to church, just as much as you're ready to read your Bible, which, let's be honest, I don't even know that that's such a high statistic, if we're really honest in the room today. But if we're willing to do all these things to be a better follower of Christ, then we should also be willing to be a better giver, to be more generous. You know, just a few weeks ago, we had a family meeting where we kind of gathered around, talked about the future of the church, and had a group here, kind of small group, but that's okay. So I got a bigger group today, so you're going to hear some of the same stuff. But the reality is that we have times here where we need to be looking at where we are as a church and where we're going as a church. And so we talked about that night that we just were able to close on the loan for the church, that we were able to get everything transferred over from East Albemarle to URA Community Church to be able to get the loan transferred over. So now the bank trusts us enough as a body to be able to handle that kind of thing. And so this building and land and everything is now URA Community Church's. That's a good thing, that they feel like this is ours. But here's the thing. Guess what comes with a mortgage? A payment, right? So there is something. I didn't hear anybody clap for that. Yay, we got a payment. But the reality is we have that. The thing is that we've excelled in so many things. We've excelled in taking the gospel out. We've excelled in ministering to people and feeding people. We've ministered by giving Bibles, and we've ministered by giving clothing, and we've ministered by doing all kinds of things. We've excelled in a lot of different ways. And the Bible instructs us, God's Word instructs us, to now excel in giving. Be generous, not just in our things that we're done with, not just things that we won't use anymore, not just with things that we don't have a use for, just to be able to give and allow the church to do the things that it's been called to do. Paul says, wants us to excel at becoming generous. He goes on then in verse 8, he says, I'm not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of the other churches. Now, one of the things that we can get in trouble with is comparing ourselves to other churches. That pastors are notorious for it, and man, it, no wonder we're all, on blood pressure medication, and half of them are having heart attacks and all that, because we're trying to keep up with somebody else's church. The reality is this is the church that God called me to pastor. And so I got to pastor this church the best way I can. I can't pastor it the way that somebody else can pastor their church. I can't pastor it the way that your pastor used to pastor your old church. I got to pastor this the way that God called me to pastor this church. And that means that I have to make some decisions. That means, most of all, that I've got to be listening to what he tells us to do. I got to be listening to what he wants us to do next. And then I got to be able to communicate that with you guys and with our lead team. And then we've got to come together, and we got to be able to take those steps to make that happen. But I can't pastor that and do it at the same time. I can't say this is where we're going and then do all of it myself either. So it takes all of us coming together to be part of that. And so we need to excel together, not being commanded to do it, and not even really comparing ourselves in the number of things that we do. We just got to be able to compare ourselves to the love of other churches. Because this church needs to love people just as much as the next church needs to love people. And they need to be able to love each people the way that we love each other. And so we can't be in a competition to try to love each other or to love people more. We just got to love the ones that God sends our way the best that we can. And so the percentage is the same. If we love them 100% and the next church loves the people around them 100%, then guess what? And we've succeeded. And we've been the church that we're supposed to be. So God has called us to excel and to not just give to give, but to give so that God can be free to do all that he wants to do in our church and through our church and in the lives of the people within the church. We have ministry that needs to be done, and it takes all of us. He goes on, he says that you know the gracious or the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for our sakes, for your sakes, he became poor so that by his poverty he could make you rich. Listen, the reason that we should be generous is because we've been given to extremely generously. That God loved us in the middle of the place that we were, in the place that we were so separated from him and could do nothing about it, that he was generous in sending his son Jesus to die on a cross to pay the price for our sin and to be buried and to raise him again on the third day. He not only gave to us to be forgiven of our sins here, but he was generous enough to make it not just for here and now, but to make it for all eternity. He's been generous to us, and if you've experienced that generosity from him and you've accepted him as your Savior, then listen, you have a responsibility now to be generous as well. Not just in giving to the church, not just in serving at the church, but in being generous wherever he puts you. You need to be generous outside of here as well. That means stop the $1 tips, y'all. I mean, come on. You know, unless they deserve it. No, I'm just kidding. You know what? Sometimes, you know what? It's really, sometimes the best feeling in the world is to tip somebody who doesn't deserve it more than they deserve. Because sometimes you can, if you can do that and pray for them, then man, there's just something better about that. I know half of you wouldn't agree with me. You know, I got a friend that, man, he's quick with the penny, and I just want to jerk him up and slap him, you know. But the reality is when he walks off, I drop more money on the table. So the truth is we need to be able to be generous with people. Whether that we feel like they deserve it or not, that's not our place. We've been commanded and instructed to be generous. And so we need to be able to do that. When we give like God tells us to, we demonstrate that we trust what he says. Now listen, check this out. Here's where we get sometimes. We come to a place where we trust God that he sent us on to die on a cross, to pay the price for our sins, that he's buried and raised again. So we trust him for our eternal salvation. And we won't trust him to make up for a $20 we may give to somebody that needs it. Now think about that. That blows me away that I do that. I'm guilty of it. Sometimes I get focused on, you know, yeah, he can save me, but I'm not sure he can meet my light bill. I don't do that very often, but I'm just saying, we get into that mindset of believing that he can do something great for us, but he can't do something so simple for him. And we need to be able to trust him because we've been instructed to do that. Here's another reason that I give. I give because I want to move away from being a taker. That's a harsh one, right? That's hard. I give because I don't want to be a taker. I don't want to be a consumer. Think about it when you were a kid. When I was little, man, I used to think that, you know, my mom and dad, they just had a money tree somewhere. I'm like, I want that. Why can't you just get that for me? Can't you just, come on, mom and dad. I want that. You know, you've heard me talk about I was a big emergency fan, right? And some of you are too young to even know what that means. But emergency, you know, Squad 51, they had all kinds of cool stuff, right? They had this little air pack thing with a little face mask on it and the fire helmet, right? And so I wanted that air pack so bad. I never got it. My dad's in the room, and he's probably feeling like a heel, but I don't mean that. I don't mean to make that. But the reality is I never got that air pack. And obviously, it still scarred me for life. But you know, I used to think, like, why don't they just get it for me? You know, he works, my mom works, everybody, they got a job. Why don't I get it? And now, I have a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old. And now it's like, you know, why don't I get it for them? So now I'm starting to begin to understand how this cycle works. Because their thing, you know, my daughter, you know, both of them, my 5-year-old knows my pay schedule better than I do, all right? She knows when I get paid, how much I get paid. She knows the whole thing somehow. And so she's asking me, hey, Dad, this is payday, isn't it, you know? And so they know, you know, and they're asking me for stuff all the time. They think that because I got paid this week, I should be able to go out and get whatever it is they want. And when think about it as a kid, we just become these takers as children. We just think, hey, I'm just going to take everything that mom and dad will give me. And I'm not worried about where it's going to come from. I just want it, and I'm going to take it. I'm not going to think about how hard they worked. I'm not going to think about the hours they put in. I'm not going to think about what they did to get this. I'm just going to take it. And the truth is, it's often like that in the church. We come in and we think, hey, I'm going to come in and I'm going to get a word from the Lord today. I'm going to come in and get my Jesus on. I'm going to get my praise on today. I'm going to come in and get the word. I'm going to get all of this stuff. Or you know what? I need to talk to the pastor. I need to, and let me just tell you, you can always come talk to me. Just come talk to me. But we often think that we can come and take of all the things at the church, that we can drop our kids off and they'll get hear the Bible. And we can never, ever give a dime for that. And let me just tell you, that's not being generous. That's not being generous to the other kids in the church. It's not being generous to the other people in the church. And listen, I know what their circumstances may be, and you're like, Ron, you just don't know. I don't have a dollar to give. Then give a dime. Give a nickel. I don't care. But trust God with something, because we need to move from being a consumer, or from a consumer to a producer, to be able to be part of what's going on here, to be part of the next person hearing about the gospel. I know that's a tough message, and that sounds like one of those typical give to the church messages, but listen, it's a reality that this is the vehicle that we've been given as a church to reach this community. And I'm sorry to tell you, but the city of Albemarle, they like to get paid for those things to be on. And you are a bank, we got a mortgage, and that means we got a payment, and they like to get their payments and everything else that goes along with that. And so we got to be real about it. That's the problem with, the church becomes about money, but the truth is that we're about money. And so when we don't do the things that we have to do, we push that off onto the church. I've done it. I'm just as guilty as you are. So I'm not throwing stones at anybody. I'm not being negative on anybody. I know what it feels like to want to give so bad, but I put myself in a place where I can't. But my problem wasn't with giving. My problem was with being generous. My problem was that I was holding on to my own wallet so tight that I wasn't opening my hands and letting God show me how he can do something with it I never could do. And so it's a spiritual discipline. It's a muscle just like anything else. It's got to be exercised. And so maybe today you're like, I just don't know how to be generous, Ron. Listen, start with something. Give. Don't look at the guy on the street corner negative every time you see him with his sign. Maybe just, maybe just give and see what God does with it. It's not up to us to decide how it's done. It's up to us to be able to know that it's done. Let God take care of the rest. But I give so that I move away from being a taker. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 13 and 14. Later on in that same Corinthians passage, Paul says, our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed. So it's not that we're hard-pressed and so somebody else can have it made easy for them. Here's what he says. He says, but there may be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality. Here's the reality. It's that we all participate. It's that we all see the need to be part of what God's doing. That doesn't mean, hey, if I'm not going to give, I'm not coming to church. Please don't hear that message. You come whether you give or not. But the truth is if we're here, if we're going to be part of it, then it needs to be equal amongst us. We need to all be part of what God's doing. And so I'm encouraging you to be part, be a producer, be part of what's going on, of the growth that takes place here. Here's the next reason. I give because it positions me to see God do the miraculous. I give because it positions me to see God do the miraculous. Sometimes we miss out on seeing God do miracles and miraculous things because we fail to put ourselves in a position to need a miracle. Now, I'm not talking about going out and spending all of our money so that again, God's got to do something to pay our mortgage. That's not the kind of miracle I'm asking for. The kind of miracle I'm talking about is that we put ourselves, we risk, and we follow the model of generosity that Jesus demonstrated for us, and then we allow him to come in and fill in the gap from the risk that we took following him. We got to be willing to step out. We got to be willing to do the things that he asks us to do, that sometimes it's going to be like, what? You really want me to do that? Listen, I can tell you, last year, staying here and moving on with URA Community Church was a huge risk. It was a risk for everybody that did it, not just for me and Kelly and my family, not just for Gabe, not just for Pastor Eddie, but for all of us that stayed and were part of it. It was a huge risk to take because we said we're going to be part of it. We're going to be generous and give to that. We're going to be generous and serve with that. We're going to be generous and reach out to people in the community. We're going to be generous and we're going to invite people to come to church with us. We're going to be generous and we're going to share our talents and gifts and everything that we've been given. And we opened ourselves up for God to do a miracle. And guess what he did? He did a miracle. I mean, here we are a year later and we're still going. Here we are a year later and people have been saved. People have been baptized. Kids have their lives changed back there. Our students are getting ready to go to Washington, D.C. and be part of taking the gospel there. That's a miracle, y'all. Quit looking for them all to be financial, but begin to look at them to be what he wants us to be and what he wants to show us. Malachi 3:10 focuses in on the giving. He says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, in the Old Testament, he's talking about, you know, the produce, because they were all farmers and everything else. And listen, we can debate the tithe. We can debate Old Testament versus New Testament. We can debate all of the little pieces of it. But the reality is, God says, trust me and let me show you who I am. Whether you give a fifth, a tenth, or a hundredth, or 100%, just trust me. And let me show you who I am. That's all he's asking for. It's for us to be willing to trust him enough to let him be God in our lives. Don't get hung up in the amount. Don't get hung up in even who you give it to. Just be willing to be generous enough to trust him so that he can be all that he wants to be in our lives. Let me just tell you, if he's not God in that area of your lives, he's not going to be God in the other areas either. We can't expect him to fix everything else and us not allow him to be God in that area. He's just not going to do it. But he wants to. And he says, test me. He doesn't say, test me and don't look at pornography. He doesn't say, don't test me and don't look at, you know, somebody that's not your spouse. Don't test me or test me and all that stuff. He doesn't get focused on anything else. He doesn't tell us to test him in any other sin that we could find. He just says, test me in being generous and let me show you who I am. That's a pretty good deal to me. And he wants us to do it. So I give because I want to see God do the miraculous. I give to this church because I want to see him do things in your lives and in my life and in the lives of my girls, my wife, your kids, your spouses, because that's what I want him to be able to do. I want him to be able to do miracles in your lives. And some of you are praying for miracles to happen, and you're not really trusting him in any other areas. It may be time to let go and let that happen. I give because I want the next generation to see that they can trust God to provide. I give because I want my girls to know that when they get to where they're at, they'll be able to trust God too. How did I learn to be able to trust God to provide? Because I saw the generation before me do it. I love the story my dad tells about a time where he and my mom were struggling terribly financially. He had fallen and hurt himself, and he wasn't able to work, and they were struggling. In fact, they were behind in their mortgage. They were about to lose everything they had. And he was praying about what to do. And so one day he went out to the place that he likes to go to think, and that's his woodshed. And this time he didn't take me, and that was good. But he went out to his woodshed, and he began to pray. And he was just asking God, what do I need to do? I'm at my rope's end. I don't know how to make this happen. I don't know what I can do to do that. Will you just show me what I need to do to get beyond this? He wasn't asking God just to wave his wand over it. He was just asking God, whatever it is, just show me what it is that I need to do. And he showed him, God revealed to him that all of these trees that we had on our property were valuable. He could have somebody come in and cut these trees down and sell the wood and make some money. And he was able to, no joke, he was able to get enough just to get everything paid off, to get caught up and a little bit ahead off of that wood. And that was clearly because God showed him what to do next and how he was going to provide. And I saw that through my dad. And so now I know that, you know what, there's always going to be a way if I trust God to provide. And I want my girls to understand that if they'll just trust him, he will provide, whether it's money, whether it's a situation, whether it's the spouse that he wants for them, whatever it is, if they'll just trust him, then they'll be able to know, and he will provide. And so I give because I want my kids, your kids, I want them to know that God will provide. I give because it forces me to see where I spend my money. This is a hard one. I give because it forces me to look at how I can continue to give. I got to look at how I'm spending my money. A couple months ago, Kelly and I looked at our budget, and I started pulling it apart because, you know, I wanted to free up more just to be able to be more generous and just to give. And as we're looking at it, I'm like, how in the world do we spend this much money there? How in the world do we do that? And so I had to look and say, how do I spend my money? You know, a budget, you know, it may be an ugly six-letter word, but the reality is it's one of those words that when we can put it into our lives and allow God to show us how to do it and how to do it properly, and he can do so much more with our finances. So we need to be able to look at it. Giving forces me to be able to do that. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. So if that's your focus, if you're focused in on money, listen, you'll never have enough. If your whole goal is to just make sure that you got enough to do and everything that revolves around, the next job revolves around more money, and which could cause less time with your family, I'm just telling you, you may want to rethink that. Because you will just find yourself then wanting more. I give because it forces me to look at where I spend my money. I give. Here's the reason. Here's the number one reason that I give to this church. I give to this church because I love the mission of this church. I don't have any issues giving here because I love the mission of this church. I love the reason that we exist. We talk about the mission statement that we exist to help people develop a love for God, a love for others, and a love for sharing the good news of Jesus. That's why we're here, because we want people to love God, we want people to love others, and we want people to love sharing the gospel of Jesus. And that shouldn't be such a big surprise, right? It's the greatest commandment says just that. Matthew 22, verses 35 and 40. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him, being Jesus, with the question, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." He made sure you understood that God should be the first love of our life. The greatest love of all is for the one who created us and gave everything for us. The second is equally important, Jesus says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes, this is amazing. Listen to this. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. If we get those two right, then everything else begins to fall into place, y'all. If we put God first and we put others second, equal with ourselves, then the rest of it comes naturally. Now, what does that look like for you and for me? It can look different. It can look different for who you are and where God's put you. And so you need to be able to get into a relationship with him and begin to spend time in that relationship so he'll know and show you what that looks like. But we need to put him first in everything. That means that we ask him before we do things. That means that we focus in on the things that he has for us. And then we get busy about being generous to the people around us. To be generous with people who need our help. Not just financially, but in everything that we have an ability to help them. So he says that that's the most important. So we put it first. In our mission, we say we want to help people develop that love. That's why we have Wednesday night community, so that you can come in and go through the gospel project and begin to grow and learn in that relationship. And so that you dig deeper down into knowing who God is, so that your kids can come and have an extra night of that as well. So they can hang out with each other and just have a great time back there, learning about who Jesus is and who he wants to be in their lives. So we develop that here. Then he goes on, right before he ascends back into heaven after he's died on the cross, been buried and raised again. He walks for 40 days on the earth, hanging out with his disciples, making sure that they've heard the most important things, that they're ready to go because he's getting ready to ascend. And so here he is, his last commands on earth before he ascends back in Matthew 28. He says, when they saw him, being some of his disciples, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, let me just be straight up. Some of you here this morning are like, you're like super doubting me. You can doubt me all you want. Some of you are doubting him this morning. Because when we get into this finance thing, it is easy to doubt. I know. Because that control grips on us and everything begins to overwhelm us and it's easy to doubt him. But here's what he said to them. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, here's the reality. Some of the disciples were doubting. He says, listen, I've got all the authority in heaven and on earth. And when we have a relationship with him, guess what we have access to? All the power and authority in heaven and earth. When it comes to us being able to trust him to be generous, we have all authority and power on heaven and in earth, in heaven and on earth at our disposal. We've got access to it. So when it comes to being generous, we don't have to be afraid to give like he tells us to give. We can trust him and know that he will provide. I don't mean just do something silly. Don't go out and just do something because you just want to. Don't go crazy with it. But if he says to give, then just be able to know that you can give and he'll take care of the rest. He's in charge. And he will be with us to the very end of the age. He will be with us as part of doing his work until the end. He's promised us that. And so for us as a church, we have a responsibility to be able to be generous. The church is not the building. The church is not the sign out front. The church is every person who sits in these seats. We're the church. And so he's called us and instructed us to be generous, to be giving, to be free to just love people with everything that we have, including our finances. Now, we can do that together. But it takes all of us to be part of that. And if we're going to be part of that, that means that we have to recognize that every single person has to do their part. Because it needs to be equal. And so today, I don't know what your financial situation is. I don't know where you are. But here's the things I do know. I do know that money has the real and unrivaled power to show us the condition of the human heart. So I know when I grip it, I know my heart's not where it needs to be. And so today for you, if you've got a grip on it, then I'm going to ask you to pray about the condition of your heart. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying that you lost your salvation. I don't believe you can do that. But I am saying that you could be at a place where your relationship is not all that it needs to be. It happens to all of us, trust me. But the reality is now we need to come back to a place of being able to trust him. Because here's what I know about a closed fist. You know how they catch a spider monkey? You ever heard how they catch a spider monkey? Well, there's a couple little theories to it, but here's what happens. They take a jar and they mount it to a tree. Sometimes they put bananas, sometimes they put peanuts. Whatever it is, they put something that's a really special treat and something that the monkeys really love. And they put it in the jar. So the monkey comes along. He puts his hand in the jar. He grabs whatever's in there. And when he goes to pull it out, it won't come out. And guess what? All he has to do is let go and pull his hand out, and he's free. But the monkey grabs it, holds on, and won't let go, and they come along, and they catch him. And now he's in bondage. He's been captured. Some of us today have our hand caught in a jar, and we're stuck financially, and we're stuck, most importantly, in generosity. And we can't be generous like God wants us to be because we just won't let go of the banana. Please don't tweet me on that. But today we need to let go. And we need to let go of our hearts and let God be all that he wants us to be. I give because I want to see lives change. I give because I want to, because God's told me to do it. I give because I just want to know that I did everything I could to be where I need to be with him. And so today, I'm sorry if you've been offended by a message on money. I'm not sorry. Today, if you've been offended because we've had to talk about that, then maybe it's time to pray. Find out why you're offended. If you need me, you come talk to me. If you got a problem with it, man, please come talk to me. Let's work through that. Because I know this is one of those issues that Satan would love to pull the church apart with. It's one of those subjects he would love to pull friendships apart. It's one of those he would love to pull relationships apart with. And so today, I want you to know that God has given us the ability to be generous. And when we are generous, we are the most like him. So will you join me in being generous? Let's pray. God, thank you for today. Thank you for your spirit. God, thank you for other microphones when Satan would even not want that to work. God, I pray right now that you would just work in our hearts. God, this is a tough message. Tough message to preach. It's a tough message to hear. It's a tougher message to even live out. And so, God, I know that no one in this room is perfect when it comes to generosity. Not me, not any of the pastors here, not any of the staff. None of us are perfect. God, the life of a Christ follower is knowing that you'll never be perfect, but knowing that you can do everything possible to try. And so, God, in this area of generosity, may we as individuals, may we as a church, may we do everything we can to be as much like Jesus. God, may we follow. May we give where we need to give. May we let go of where we need to let go. May we share where we need to share. May we be willing to just admit that we've not been where you want us to be in this area. And God, help us. Give us a direction. God, I know that it's part of your plan. And so therefore, I know that you have something for all of us. So God, whatever the situation is, may you work freely in it. God, for those in the room who've never come to a place of acknowledging you as their Savior, as Jesus being the one who died on the cross, paying the price for their sins, being buried and raised again, God, I pray right now that you'll just move in those hearts and that you'll bring us to a place of acknowledging that and recognizing it and admitting and confessing it. God, I pray for our lives to be changed, that not one of us would leave here the same, that not one of us would leave here with an angry spirit, with a bitter spirit. God, may we all leave here with a generous spirit. May we leave here with a spirit lined up with who you are and what you want for us. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.